Welcome to the podcast, God Wants to Talk to You. 15 minutes of Bible talk hosted by a regular guy, ordinary non-church affiliated layman named Michael.
And here we go. It is time to get into the New Testament. We are going to read today from 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy, I'll give you some context, is a book, the very last book of the Bible written by Paul the Apostle, St. Paul. And the reason it's the last book is because he writes this about 64 AD, very shortly before he is martyred and he is in Rome. Paul is a Roman citizen. Remember, he went through all kinds of persecutions and sufferings all along the way to spread the word of Jesus. And as the Jews back in Israel were trying to have him put to death, when they brought him to the Roman governors there, he said, "You can't hand me over to the Jews. I'm a Roman citizen." And even though he was also a Jew, and they, as a Roman citizen, had to grant that to him. So they had to bring him all the way to Rome. And we know all of the stories we know of St. Paul as they eventually got him back to Rome to stand trial. He has now stood trial. He is about to be martyred or killed, executed. And he is writing a letter now to Timothy, who is his protege. Timothy is a young protege. This is happening around the time of Emperor Nero. After we talk about this, I'll tell you some interesting story about the actual execution of Paul. But right now, we're going to pick up the reading. This is him kind of instructing Timothy on how to carry on with the church, knowing he is about to be executed. So we'll start off chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in a view of his appearing his king and in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encounter, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So that's where we are. That is chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And we will talk about that now, because how much does that first part sound like today? How much of that first part is that incredibly like today? Where here we have the Apostle Paul telling his protege, like, I'm not going to be here anymore, but I'm giving you this divine commission. This isn't like some casual advice. Hey, you know, I'm going to be gone and you need to do this and this and this. No, he's giving him strictly a divine commission is what he's doing. And he's telling him to preach the word no matter the timing or the circumstances. In season and out of season means preach the word when it's unpopular as much as when it's popular, not just when it's convenient. And that those teachings include what he talks about in there, correction, rebuke, encouragement. And he says to balance all of that with truth and love. So once again, so often someone who has great knowledge of the Bible, of just a theologian in general, I'm personally put off by, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Like, yeah, you can have a doctor in the Bible and you can be that. I don't need to know that. You can teach me. I find some pomp and circumstance in that. I know there's great people who are doctors of the Bible that preach the word. But I love that he's just like, balance it with truth and with love. And when you guide someone, don't do it out of arrogance. Don't like, you know, you fool, that's not what that means. It's this. Give them correction, rebuke them, and encourage them with truth and love. Very, Hard to do, I think, for some people. For others, it's not. Some people are natural teachers and wonderful at it. Other people have this, it's an arrogance about them. And he's telling them not to do that. And he's saying, you know, share God's truth even when it's not well received. When he talks about do it in season and out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular, everywhere. You see those people that go places, I mean, I call it going into the lion's den, when they go to preach the gospel at some huge event that is very anti-Christian. And I'm like, man, are you there to start trouble? They're doing what they're technically called to do. I understand it. And as long as they do it within that guidelines of truth and love and being, you know, patient and loving when they do it, they're doing it correctly. They're doing the right thing, even though it is not well received and even though people do not want to hear what they're saying. I like the part two where, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that part about basically they want to hear what their itching ears want to tell them. That is so spot on today. That is so spot on to what we are talking about in this world today. So many, even there's churches that do it, there's certain priests, and this is all denominations. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. People realize it is profitable to tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear, which is the true and authentic gospel. And that's a very real thing in the world today. And here it was in 64 AD. Jesus had only been dead for 30-something years, and this was already happening. It's still happening today, probably much worse than it was then. But how true was it that Paul saw this, and he was telling him, hey, they're going to want to hear what they want to hear, not what you want to tell them, and you've got to tell them what you need to tell them, period, no matter what. And so he is setting them up for that. He said, keep your head in all situations because people, their itching ears, want to hear what they want to hear, not what you want to tell them. And oftentimes, just like today, when people are out doing this, like I said, in the lion's den, when they're out at some huge anti-Christian event and they're out there preaching and preaching, people physically will attack them. And look at all of the hardships and all of the awful things that happened to Paul along the way. It's not easy, and it's very brave to stand up, keep your head in all situations, endure the hardship, and to do the work of an evangelist. And that's what Paul did and what Paul was calling Timothy to do. Keep your head, stay calm, alert, and stay faithful amid the chaos or of any persecution. Endure the hardships. And he talks about the sufferings that Christ endured, which are way worse than what you're going to endure. Do the work of the evangelist means sharing the gospel boldly and faithfully, the gospel, not an interpretation of the gospel, of what a candy-coated version of the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach what Jesus taught us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the gospels. So now it gets to the part to me that is just the most powerful in what we read today, and it's the second part. Verses 6 through 8, when he says, I am already poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. He knows this is it. I've survived so many times. They stoned Paul to death at one point, and we believe he died, and Jesus brought him back to life because his work wasn't done. That's a true belief. And he was literally stoned, and they thought he was dead. The only reason they left him there is because they thought they had stoned him to death, because that's the intent on stoning someone. So he went through all of that, bit by the poisonous snake, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the persecutions, everything they tried to do to this guy, and he seemed to be like the Teflon Don, nothing stuck. He just kept coming and coming and coming. But Paul knows, I'm in this Roman jail, I'm done. And what is he doing? He's looking forward to the crown of righteousness. That's what he's talking about. And I love this part, and this is a great place for self-reflection in this scripture. He says, he's made a sacrifice to God. He's poured out everything he had in service and faith. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. If you died today, could you say that? I can die today and say, I'm starting to do that. I haven't done a very good job of it thus far. It's a true personal reflection. It's a great personal reflection point. This man is going to die, and he knows it. and he can say with a good conscience, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So something to think about, because most of us haven't done that. And Paul, boy, did he suffer to get the word out there. And boy, did he go through a lot. So in a recap, we've got have a faithful ministry, preach and live God's truth, even when it's hard. The endurance ministry involves hardship, but God honors perseverance. And I'm not saying you have to go out and stand on the street corners and preach, but we're all called to spread the word, to be ambassadors of Christ. How do I know you're a follower of Christ? By the way you act. Do you act like Christ, or do you act like some heathen? The hope and reward. Eternal life and righteousness awaits those who remain faithful. Paul had, from the time of his being born again, once Jesus knocked him off of his high horse on his road to Damascus, at that point, Paul lived that race, and he fought it with endurance and faithfulness, and wasn't out for fame or any of that. He literally just was amazing at being an evangelist at that point and preaching the words of Jesus. So keep eternity in your view, because the crown of righteousness is awaiting. And Paul knew that. Paul was very content with his situation. And that's what he did. He accepted it, and he willingly died to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. And hopefully none of us will be called to do that. But it reminds you of the price so many have paid. Look at the price Jesus paid for us. And many people paid that same price in return, like all of the rest of the disciples, and then Paul even himself. Now, what happened to Paul? Paul was beheaded, and he was only afforded that luxury because he was a Roman. And being a Roman citizen, they considered you above other non-Romans, and when you did something that you were convicted of, where you would be put to death, which is what happened with under Emperor Nero to Paul. They would afford you the courtesy of being beheaded, and you didn't have to be crucified. They like to crucify foreigners and non-Romans as a show of disrespect, how they crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus. So Paul finished the race strong, keeping my faith until the very end. And that's what he did. And he could say that with a good, clear, honest heart. And I hope that you can. And I hope that someday I can, too, say those same things. It's very, very powerful stuff. Paul was a great writer and a man of great faith and a huge instrument of Jesus immediately following his ascension into heaven after the resurrection when he converted Paul. And to this day, where Paul is the urban legend, excuse me, I don't know if they say, it's not in the Bible, so I'm not quoting the word of God here, but there is a story associated to the execution of Paul that when they chopped his head off with a sword, which I said was a great luxury for Roman citizens, and his head bounced three times. The story is that each place where the head bounced, water shot up from the ground, a spring sprung up from the ground and happened right there, which is oftentimes, I think, I believe these things because God showed them right after, like, wow, you just killed one of my people. This man was speaking the truth. I think it's a way for God to vouch for these people. Now, to this day, there are three fountains. From the well-known legend where Paul's head bounced three times and in each spot a fountain of water poured up, there is now three fountains that commemorate that at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, which is traditionally considered to be the very site where Paul was martyred. And it is just a powerful testament to a powerful man who wrote more than half of the New Testament of the Bible and lived a very strong life. The man's one of the greatest, he's probably the greatest evangelist of Christianity outside of Jesus Christ himself. He would have to be. The disciples were very powerful too, but Paul was really something, and he's the guy that brought it to the Gentiles. And then eventually, 300 years later, we get the Caesar himself becomes Christian and converts the entire kingdom to Christianity. And that's how Christianity really survived through all of these thousands of years. So it took 300 years of these people out in these small churches being persecuted everywhere, being martyred, being crucified. And then they ran a good race. They finished the race. They lived strong through their faith. So that is really good stuff. Closing prayer today. Let's do it in honor of St. Paul. Let's say, Lord, help me to be faithful to your word like St. Paul was. Give me the courage to speak truth and love, endurance in hardship, and hope in the reward that you promise. May I finish my race strong, keeping my faith in you until the very end. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. God bless you all. I will talk to you again Friday with another episode of God Wants to Talk to You.
If you would like to contact us here at God Wants to Talk to You, follow us and reach out through Instagram at God Wants to Talk to You. Until next time, may the peace of our Lord be with you.